come ashore?
Yes, it did. It came right across, right down over top of us, right there.
There is the Hurricane Landfall Project truck. It's all set up, strapped down. We're going to turn all the switches on in just a little while. Standing outside of the Chevy Tahoe, we are getting into the eye wall of Hurricane Gene right now. Four came in on shore here along the southeast coast of Florida.
These little bullet cams right here that we will use to record that surge.
Hello again and welcome to another edition of Stories from the Hurricane Highway. I am your host, Mark Suddeth. Great to have you along again. Now we begin a new year, the year 2007. That's what we're going to talk about. We're done with 06, now we're up to 2007. And what an interesting year this was for me personally, in my career, the country as a whole. Something very important starts to happen this year. We'll get to that. And in fact, that's what I'm going to do in this episode. It'll be somewhat shorter than previous episodes because I'm just going to kind of outline what we're going to address here, what I'm going to talk to you about in the next few episodes as we move through the second of the 3 years that I'm going to tell you all about as we reminisce back along the Hurricane Highway there, 06, 07, 08. That's what we're going to cover in this third season of the podcast series. So here we are, 2007. What was happening that year? Well, one of the things that happened, the iPhone, that was introduced by Steve Jobs, the late, great Steve Jobs, in January of 07. He said, hey, it's coming. It's called the iPhone. It'll be a smartphone that'll be made by Apple, and it'll be revolutionary, and it'll have these things called apps and whatever. And that was the beginning of it. That would come out, I think it was June that they first debuted those. I didn't get mine until 2012, just skipping ahead a little bit. We'll get there. It'll be important when we talk about it for obvious reasons. But no, I didn't have one in 07, but that was the year that the iPhone was introduced. So the world of the smartphone was coming our way in 07. The hurricane season was forecast to be pretty busy overall. We had a La Nina that year, and we got all the way down to Olga, O-L-G-A. And we had Andrea, I think was the first of the named storms that year for the Atlantic Basin. And we ended with Olga, and Olga was actually in December, believe it or not, because we had a La Nina. And the La Nina allowed the Caribbean especially to be quite favorable. And we had two Cat 5s go through there. Dean and Felix, I think, were their names. Neither of which did I go down and intercept because they were in Central America. And up until this point, I hadn't left the United States yet to do any of my work. What else was happening? Well, Lowe's and I had agreed to the seventh year of working together. So I started in 01, 02, 03, 04, 05, 06, 07. This would be our seventh year. And it was going to be a big one. Going to go and do 50 Lowe's hurricane fairs that year, all around the Southeast, up into the Mid-Atlantic, and even the Northeast. Mike and Jesse would help out. I would visit with the two of them 30-something stores. I can't remember exactly how many. Couldn't get to all 50, but we would host the company with my help and my assistance and thought process put into it and planning, etc. 50 hurricane fairs from Texas to Maine, and very, very ambitious, printing up another several hundred thousand of the Lowe's hurricane guides. I was busy working on those, just getting ready for another year. Didn't go to the National Hurricane Conference in 07 that I can recall. Don't really remember why, but I sat that one out. I did go down to the Florida Governor's Conference. Maybe I wanted to just do something new. I don't really remember, but that's fine. So I went to the Florida Governor's Conference. That was down in the Fort Lauderdale area at the Broward Convention Center. And I do remember that was in May of 07. That was really, really cool. Very, very interesting place. A beautiful place. I stayed at the Hilton near there, right at the marina. And gosh, that was gorgeous. I took my early model Canon digital camera that I had purchased. I don't know if it was a DSLR per se a digital single lens reflex camera. I know it's a digital camera. I just don't know if it had the little lens that you could hear that sound. It might have just been a digital camera with just a CMOS sensor or whatever, just technical stuff. Doesn't really matter, but I did have a digital camera from Canon, and I remember I could hook it up to my laptop and use this software from a company called Granite Bay, GB software, that would control that camera, and you could do time lapse, and it would store hundreds and hundreds of images, and you could set the aperture, the ISO, all that good stuff, and get these amazing, rich pictures that you would stitch together in QuickTime or something, a software package from Apple, and you could make this movie that was just amazing. I mean, now with a GoPro and even your iPhone all those years later, no problem. You can do that, like, yeah, whatever, dude, it's no big deal. But back then in 07, it was a big deal, and I remember doing that from my balcony of the hotel there. People are going out to dinner, and they're, you know, hitting the, you know, different bars or whatever, just talking and, you know, not partying or doing anything crazy, but I didn't join them. I'm back at my room geeking out, taking like nighttime time-lapse movies of the marina and looking back towards South Florida there, watching these clouds come in off the Atlantic. I mean, that's just the kind of guy I am, you know, kind of a, no, I'm not going to go and hobnob with people after hours, after the conference part. I'm going to go and do geeky stuff. It's just me. And I remember that vividly, that I would get these amazing time-lapse movies that I thought, well, one day I'll use these as B-roll somewhere, maybe as a transition cut shot or something in a upcoming documentary, who knows. That was really cool. I remember doing that. And then there was this. Bank of America had recruited me to come down in June of 07 to do a seminar, if you will, and kind of be an expert on hurricanes. You know, that sounds right. Okay, so far so good. With and part of what's called their HELOC program. And if you know what that is already, Home Equity Line of Credit. That's something they offered. And they wanted me to convince their customers who were already coming in to investigate getting a home equity line of credit to try to steer them to use that money, the equity in their house, to do mitigation measures. So let's say you've got 30 grand of equity or whatever, or 80 grand and you want to use 30 grand to do some hurricane mitigation. What should you do? That's what I was there for. Guide them, give them some pointers. We even did like a top 10 list refrigerator magnet hurricane track and Bank of America branded. Wonder if I still have any of those. I should look in my garage. I store a lot of the stuff that I've done over the years, newspapers, maps, magazine articles. I do have a lot of that. I wonder if I've got any of, I got to look for that. That would be a neat thing. Anyway, neither here nor there. I'll check and we'll see. If I do and I find it, I'll post a picture of it on Patreon for you. All right. But yeah, it was just something different and kind of out of my comfort zone. Here I am talking sort of this crossover between finances and home equity and hurricanes, which is interesting because something else was happening in the economy already. From 05, 06, and 07, this quiet fracturing of the housing bubble had begun. And there's a book and a movie all about it. It's called The Big Short. If you haven't seen it, the movie, it's really, really good. Got Christian Bale and Ryan Reynolds, I think it is, or Ryan Gosling, sorry, and some other, I think Steve Carell is in it. Very, very interesting look at the housing crash that, you know, that took the economy with it. And that's a big part of what we're going to talk about later in 07 in an upcoming episode. I don't know, a couple episodes forward from here. But it's interesting that it started, you know, manifesting itself, at least the book and the movie talk about this, in South Florida. One of the guys, one of the prominent dudes, I think it was Mark Baum, this investor guy, hedge fund dude, whatever he was in Wall Street, sent a couple of his buddies down to Florida. Maybe it was 05 to just kind of look at this bubble, because this guy, Dr. Michael Burry, was wanting to short the housing market. And they were like, what? And it was just this crazy idea. So they went down to look into it. And it was in South Florida. At least that's what they showed in the movie. Admittedly, I haven't read the book, but the book was supposedly done well by the movie. They did a good job following the book from what I understood. And what does all this have to do with me and Bank of America? Well, Bank of America and Countrywide and the housing market, they're all related. All right, and we're not going to get too much into that just yet. But I just find it interesting knowing what I know now and what we all know eventually happened to the housing market, that there I am in South Florida in May of 07, June of 07, whatever it was, trying to get people to spend their home equity on hurricane mitigation. You know, it may not matter at all. It might not. Just to me, it was interesting that, okay, you know, you got these people coming in and their houses are worth way more than they were when they bought them, because that's what the bubble is, or at least part of it. And so they've got a lot of equity, and Bank of America had a good idea. I thought that was at least noble of them. Hey, look, use some of that equity to mitigate against hurricanes and help protect this massive investment that you have called your house. So I did that. I did it with Mike Watkins. He helped me out. And it was just different, you know, showing up at 8 o'clock in the morning, working with the bankers, setting up inside the branches there. We did a couple of branches in the Pembroke Pines area. I think I charged them about $4,000 for this, my fee to come down and do this, and paid Mike a little bit to help out. And just different, you know, very different talking with people about transitioning from, well, okay, let's use your money in your house, and how should we spend it? Well, let's spend it on hurricane shutters, a whole house generator, and other things like hiring somebody to come trim your trees, you know, different mitigation measures. And, you know, just, again, something different. I remember thinking, you know, maybe we could expand this and I could go to 10 or 20 Bank of America locations. I even did a pitch to the lady that had crafted this whole idea up. I think she was from somewhere in Massachusetts or something like that, and her office and whatever, and they didn't go for it. And now I know why, because as we know, you know, stuff was starting to fall apart later in 07. We'll get to that later. But you know, I saw an opportunity that maybe I could expand this and do these seminars elsewhere, but they just wanted to do a handful. It was like a pilot program. And we all know that that house of cards was about to collapse. And that's probably a big reason why they weren't going to fund more of these, because, you know, the housing market was getting ready to fall into the ocean almost literally. So there was that. And then we began the big tour, the Lowe's Hurricane Fair Tour, Pensacola, Gulfport, Mobile, Metairie, Louisiana. Metairie is in Louisiana. I was trying to say New Orleans. You know, Lafayette, Houston, Victoria, Lake Jackson, Corpus, you know, Norfolk, Raleigh, Durham, New Bern, Savannah, Tampa. I'm just naming off all these places. Orlando, just city after city that we visited. Myrtle Beach, Greenville, North Carolina, Rocky Mount, North Carolina. A lot of different Lowe's stores in the early part of the hurricane season. Meeting with people. We did them on Saturdays and Sundays to try to squeeze as many in as we could, really pushing forward this idea of being hurricane prepared. And that was, you know, what I was in charge of for this seventh year in a row going forward here from 01 to 07 with Lowe's. We call it the Hurricane Readiness Program was the technical term for it, our sort of branded term, if you will. And it was exciting, you know, just going out and being all over the place, you know, all these different cities, meeting hundreds and hundreds of people along the way, on the road a lot, yes, but boy, it was just so neat getting to go to all these different places and just talk about hurricanes. Now, other things that were going on that year, I believe it was 07 that Max Mayfield retired. I think it was 07. And he retired from the National Hurricane Center after 30-something years of service. And Bill Perwenza took his place. It was very brief. There was a lot of controversy about that, different changes that he wanted to make, and the staff kind of revolted against him. It was quite the controversy down there at the National Hurricane Center. I think they had a petition about what they didn't like about this guy, and it was just a real bummer. You hate to see that kind of infighting and disagreement amongst management. And, you know, the director of the National Hurricane Center, to us hurricane geeks and the weather world as a whole, is, you know, kind of idolized, like a movie star would be. They're celebrities to us, the people that work down there, especially people that we knew personally over the years. And to see that kind of strife going on was a little disappointing. It would get sorted out eventually, and Bill Reed would take over. I don't remember the timeline exactly on that, but yep, that was 07, I do believe, that Max retired, and Bill Perwenza was briefly involved down there. And then we got into the hurricane season, and like I said, we started kind of early with Andrea. Andrea was an early season, out-of-season storm. It was sort of subtropical, as they say, and not sort of. I mean, it was. May 9th through the 11th, right off the coast of the Carolinas, believe it or not, kind of coming in west-southwest of all places in the western Atlantic towards Florida. Then it kind of turned north and then died out around May 8th or 9th, somewhere around there. Just sort of this hybrid, what we now know as subtropical storm, Andrea. Then we had Barry. That was in June, and that was really not a big deal. That was also a tropical storm, and that was also generally away from land. Really wasn't a problem for anybody. So we were still in this hurricane drought starting through all of 06. No hurricanes hit the United States that year. And we started off the hurricane season there in 07 through Andrea, Barry, and then finally Chantal, also a tropical storm. That was at the end of July, very, very short-lived. And a lot of this activity was right off the east coast of the U.S. early on. And these systems were short-lived, moved along, and just didn't do much. And that was it. You know, it was like, well, okay, this is it for the early part of the season, the August and September activity was lackluster. No hurricanes had formed yet. And again, we're up to the end of July, early part of August. And that's where we'll end for now. That's the stage. That's where we are in 2007. So not a lot of, you know, nothing big or different or massively, no big changes. We're just kind of moving along, status quo. What's the hurricane season going to be like? What are we going to do to be ready? And there was one thing I wanted to do to be ready, and that's what I'm going to talk about in the next episode to leave you with a little cliffhanger there. And that is, what are we going to do with these other wind towers? You know, these two wind towers that I've got left from the Lowe's Mississippi weather station project of 06. Remember, I still had these two 10-meter wind towers, and I wanted to do something with those. Lowe's allowed me, and I'm going to talk about that, and some of it's kind of actually humorous, in the next episode of Stories from the Hurricane Highway, all right? So again, thanks for tuning in. I do appreciate it very much. This is going to be a very interesting year. The next episode and then the one after that really starts to make some big changes here, some very pivotal things happening. And going to be some interesting conversation here, at least from my point of view, telling you how this big, big change is going to take place and what happens with that in 07 and where we go from there. That'll be upcoming in a couple of episodes here of the podcast series. All right. Again, thanks for tuning in. I do appreciate your time and attention more than you will ever know. It's awesome to be here doing this for you. I am Mark Suddeth for Stories from the Hurricane Highway, the podcast, and for HurricaneTrack.com. Again, thanks for listening. I'll be back with more for you next week.